Welcome along to the podcast. It is a Wednesday. I've got no idea of the date, but I know we're heading into round five of Super Rugby. Ellie Williams, Mills Mulina, Scotty Stevenson with you on the short ball today. Boys, should we recap the weekend? Ellie, I'm coming to you on this. I'm coming to you. I'm coming straight to you.
Coming to me, baby.
Okay. I'm going to use the words hope and blues, and I would like you to construct a sentence.
The Blues bring hope to New Zealand rugby after their victorious victory in the weekend. And now people of the world and world rugby can see a spectacle, which is Blues rugby playing well.
All right. Let's take Rico Ioane out of that picture and his 20 points. The Blues still
win with a shaky victory over a unsturdy Japanese side.
I thought you
might have
gone the Blues gave the Sunwolves a hiding.
Look, at the end of the day, he was on the end of some cherries there. He did bugger all for those tries. But he scored them. He scored more than he did in one match than I did in my whole career. Actually, he sat sideline to our mate to the right of us, old Shab, and one of four players to score four tries in a match for the Blues, I think. So it's good to see your name still getting bantered around. Obviously we hear you.
I fought hard for those four tries that night, I tell you.
How many metres did you run for those?
There was one try, I think it was right at the end, where Carlos chipped over the top and Dougie tried to steal it off me. Get out of here, mate. You've got enough tries. Hey?
You still hold the record, Dougie? He's had a threat, isn't he, from Israel Folau? Has Israel got that record?
He must just hold on to it. I think he's still got it.
Dougie
Howlett. There's a name. What an interesting sideline. Dougie Howlett's now, from what I understand, is consulting to one of the Gaelic football teams.
Yeah.
In Ireland. Is that right?
Gaelic football team, isn't it? Yeah. The top team.
He's consulting to the top team.
My understanding. He's God there.
He's
the sponsorship manager.
He does. He works with some environmental.
Yeah, that's his investment portfolio. Okay. And then, from my understanding, I'm probably all wrong. Now he's obviously taking that higher sport. There's a word for it, isn't it? High performance sport. His learnings into Gaelic football. Pretty cool, eh?
To the GAA. Well, that's big time in Ireland for sure. Let's get serious.
He's got an Irish passport.
Does he?
Yeah. Maybe it might come back. Maybe Gaelic. Doug Howlett playing Gaelic football.
Could you imagine?
Ireland. No. He couldn't kick, mate.
He can't kick. Yeah, beautiful. Way to end that conversation.
Let's talk seriously about the Blues. Let's clear my throat because we'll get serious here. I thought Sonny Bill was outstanding in midfield for the Blues, and I thought James Parsons was outstanding for the Blues, and I'll tell you why, boys. Because they took a beating and got back up time and time again and never gave up. And I really admired that about both of those players, two senior pros in that Blues team, Sonny Bill Williams captaining the side. And that Sunwolves defence is tougher than people give him credit for. Yep. They can put a guy on his ass. And Sonny got belted. Parsons got melted a couple of times. And the fact that they just got up and just carried on doing what they do, I think that's the part of the Blues performance that should give people hope that things are starting to lock in there in terms of what it takes to win games. Would you guys agree with that, or am I wildly off the mark as usual?
It's probably the bit that people have thought has been missing. The resilience, especially when you get belted back and you look at a senior player and then all of a sudden they perhaps in the last few years haven't come back. They haven't sort of grasped onto those hard sort of the hard stuff, right, Worms? And so I think when young guys look at that and also coaches, and you've obviously noticed it as well, Sumo, it also brings inspiration to the team, and they're just not after the hard stuff. And when your leaders are doing that and leading like that, it just lifts the whole team. And so I think it's a part where it has been missing a little bit for the Blues, and you kind of get the grasp of the fact that it's that sort of stuff's actually coming back, which is absolutely pleasing.
Well, it says more about the environment and what a player is prepared to do to get a victory than it does almost about how a team's playing and that sort of stuff. So, to me, if I look back, you've got Auckland Rugby that was doing what it was doing, and then last year we looked at it and we said, They won that match in the final. They won other matches that you thought they were never going to win. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty, but that word resilience. And they just kept going, kept going, kept going. And what I liked in the weekend, as you say, it wasn't pretty.
Mm.
But they just kept going. And led by senior players like Sonny and Jipper, Mr. Parsons there, just getting up and keep rolling. Because those young kids, they'll do it. They'll do what the old guy does.
That's
they'll
it.
Do it. They'll do it. But they won't do it if the old guy is sitting there going, well, you know, the coffee's
going to break. And if that doesn't happen, those guys don't do that. It's, like you say, they didn't win pretty, but it could have been it could easily have been a game that would have lost.
Yeah.
Had those two senior players not keep going at it, you know?
Because when you weigh it up with the Blues, and we'll get to other Kiwi teams through the short ball today, but if you're a young player,
short ball.
If you're a young player walking into the Blues changing room, you look around there. There's one guy who's won a final, and one other guy who's been to the playoffs, and that's Sonny Bill with the Chiefs and Martin Onu with the Hurricanes. There's no one else in there with a tradition of winning, and that I'm not singling out players and saying poor you.
Is that correct?
Name me one. Carl Tuanukuafi maybe with the Chiefs. But if you compare and contrast with every other team in the competition from a New Zealand point of view, you walk in there and there's guys who have won titles and there's guys who have been to the playoffs regularly.
Mm.
But for young guys walking into the Blues changing room for training on a Monday morning, they're looking around, they're saying, who's my guiding light here? Who's going to give me all the information I need and give me the direction I need to make it into playoff football?
Augie? Pulut? Mad Dog? He was with the Chiefs, wasn't he?
He was indeed.
So there is a few, but I do agree with you. I generally can say that with the Blues, I think I don't think it's a problem, but the players are looking to the coach. You've got Leon McDonald's won several championships, Tana Umanga, Tom Coventry won several championships. So they're looking to those guys when really you look internally first and then you get support from the likes of Tana and Leon there.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a valuable statement, you know, saying that internally they don't have that, this is how you do it.
Yeah, look,
because that's
the hardest thing to get into the Blues system, is just having an environment in which everyone there is a winner. And you guys both know what it's like when you go into the All Blacks because you're surrounded by champions, right? Mm. So there's a natural expectation on what is required from you, and you don't have to look too far for the inspiration. Furthermore, you don't have to look too far for someone to tap you on the shoulder and say, mate, you are not up to scratch.
Mm.
This is not how we win these test matches. This is not how we win these games. So the Crusaders have it in spades. It's a self-sustaining environment because the expectation level is set. And it doesn't matter what coach you put in on the Blues, they are not the ones who are going to be able to do this until they build some playoff experience in their squad. So it's a real catch-22, and I feel a bit for Leon McDonald because I don't think his challenge is catch and pass and tackle and defensive system and set piece. So I think his challenge is purely mindset.
Mental, yeah.
Purely mindset, saying to these guys, if you want to be champions, act like champions 100% of the time. Not 80% of the time, not 75, not fall over when the chips are down.
Yeah.
And that, going back to the original point, is what I liked about that win over the Sunwolves. Sure, it's the Sunwolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team that's won one game away from home in 25 attempts, but it doesn't matter. There's no diagrams on a scorecard, to use a golf analogy.
Mm.
You got it done.
And this is where it's probably really crucial for the Blues. Like, they had a really good start against the Crusaders.
Yep.
They went away, and then all of a sudden that doubt sort of came back.
Mm.
They lost the games on the road. Then now they've grinded out a win and they've looked at leaders that have sort of, battered their way through it. The hard part now for them
is a bye week.
Well, it is. And to make sure.
You don't get points anymore, are you?
You don't. But to make sure they don't think, well, we won that game, everything's going to be rosy.
Yep.
You know, they almost have to draw on what you've spoken about, those leaders, grafted. Because the other thing is, and you talk about the mental side, it takes time to build that.
Yeah.
You can't sort of emulate another team. They can't look at the likes of the Crusaders and say, oh, what are they doing? We've got to try and copy that. You've almost got to go and do the hard stuff, you know, together and find out what that looks like and feels like before they create this culture and of winning ways. And I just hope that they don't think, you know, okay, we'll beat the Sunwolves, we're back on our winning ways, because it's going to take a lot more than that to become winners.
Do you know the other thing, and I know we'll move on to other teams in a second, but if you walk into the Blues HQ, and I've had the privilege to walk in there a few times, I'm sure both of you boys have been down there, There's no real acknowledgement of the history of the Blues. do you know what I mean? I mean, this has
been an ongoing battle for a long, like ever since I walked in there. It was like, where's the history of this Blues side?
Where do you walk down the hallway and see the greats? Where do you say, you know, 96, 97, we were champions of this competition. 2003, we were champions of this competition. It's almost like, let's hide from that. Let's not try to emulate that. Let's create our own pathway. I think you have to reach back a little bit now and say, we are a champion club. We can be again.
I think we've got to go back to that. The facet that everyone used to hate about Aucklanders was the Jaffa, was the perceived arrogance when you're on the field because you thought you could do things. Because
you could.
But the way that the guys played in terms of the island, where, you know, bigger population of islanders who have that freak ability and all that sort of stuff. And I think that we've potentially gone away from that in this new PC world that we live in. We've gone away from it because we're trying to be PC. Well, actually, no, that's our identity, and let's embrace that. Let's be different. Let's create something off the back of that. And as you say, let's honour some of these greats, you know, the likes of Zinnie Brook, Robin Brook, you know, Sean Fitzpatrick. These guys were all great players, but they also were great men and had something different and had an attitude about them. We look at, you know, Robin Brook, I was my guy that I looked up to. Well, when you look up to someone, and dare I say it, you get the good and the bad with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just take the shininess and say, look, that's, I'm going to just be that person. But you take the good and the bad. And that's what I think one of the goods and the bads about looking at those guys and looking at Auckland in the past was they did have that
swagger,
arrogance, whatever, it's perceived arrogance but not internal. And that's what I think they need to try and get to, because it's not arrogance, it's a confidence and a reassurance that you know what you're doing and you can do it.
And that's
the word's probably wrong, which I'm using.
I totally agree. I think they need, in terms of the fact, they need to touch on history, you know, go back, mate. They were dominating the Blues. They won championship after championship, but you've got to be careful because those guys had swagger because they were successful, and they had arrogance because no matter what team came and where they went and played, they won. Now, times have changed, and the athlete has changed. So, from what I've seen is, guys, yes, they can take that on. You know, we've got this Auckland swagger. We're a Jaffa, blah, blah, blah. But they don't go out and perform. They don't go out and have that resilience that you've just spoken about, where they get battered backwards.
You're saying you've got to earn the right to be an asshole.
You have to also do your homework and know what you're actually doing and be collective.
Yeah.
You can't go out there and say, I want the limelight, I'm this Jaffa, I'm this, and I've got swagger, because that's kind of what's happened, you know.
I think it's still chicken and egg though, Shabba. I think the fact is that you've got to internally have it to then perform and say, well, actually, because let's say you walk down the street, you're a big man on campus, right? And you act like it. Someone comes up and says, right, you want to go for it. You actually have to muscle up.
Yeah.
And that's when it's like, well, he is a big man on campus, you know. But the guy that goes, meow, is not, he doesn't have it. He didn't even try. So what I'm saying is, before they got to feel internally, not externally, but internally go, oh, I got this. And that's, I think, is the untold factor down in the Crusaders.
Yeah, man.
Is even when you are, you know, that scrawny little white kid that grew up and you don't have anything, once you put that Crusader jersey on, once you get selected, once Razor Robinson puts his hand around you and says, kid, you're good enough.
Yeah, you're suddenly 6'5" and 110 kgs.
Man, I got swagger, man.
And you're prepared to get a hiding.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Because you know you're going to go out there. I mean, you might get a hiding, but you're like, mate, I've got it.
Yeah.
Whereas on the flip side, they might have it, but they're like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. I remember Owen Franks come in and you just sort of look and you're like, well, you know, he's a big kid and he's doing all this sort of stuff, but does he really have guts? And I remember that, you know, internally people challenged him.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, mate, that just brought the best out of him. He said, right, I'm not the fittest guy in the world. I'm the strongest beast in the world. I love scrumming. Oh. I'm the most disciplined human being in the world.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, 100 Teds later, beat it. Don't ever challenge me now. And that's what I think is that internal thing that comes.
But he had something else going for him. He spent his whole childhood getting put in a sleeping bag and getting the shit beaten out of him by Ben Frank. So, I mean, you know, like he came off a pretty good base. Let's be honest.
He did. But, I mean, you know, from the outside, he didn't show that he was the boom boom, and then gets in there, Canterbury, and he just was like, man, I can do anything. And you're like, go kid.
No, he was, and he was confident. I remember the first time he came into All Black camp, and I had him, and it was like, only 50-50. I had to hold the hit shield. And this, I was like, who the hell is this little young punk?
Yeah.
It was like belting me backwards, and I thought, maybe just the first one. Mate, he did all of them. And I was like, shit, mate, you're someone else off the bloody bag.
Exactly. My ribs are hurting, coach. Get me out of here. Let's move down the line on the short ball today, down to Chiefs Munna.
We could go further down the highway if you want to. I mean, I know that they don't want to talk about it. 4-0, got nothing really going for them at the moment. Apart
there's
from
no
the
international airport there, mate. We can't land.
Greatest man in the world and Brody Retallick. But we can move further on down to the Hurricanes.
Do you not want to touch on them? Do you not want to touch
on them? No, we can touch on them. They're just in a bad spot.
Why not?
I tell you what. Like, most of this issue, from what I hear out of the camp, is coming from a defensive system that was implemented pre-season when the All Blacks came. They had to simplify because the guys just couldn't quite click in time to get around Neil Barnes' defensive system. Remembering, too, that Colin Cooper did have the defensive role last year but has been shifted into an oversight role this year within the Chiefs organisation. So, you know, all the coaches have bought into the defensive system. Apparently all the players have. But here's the thing about any defensive system, and you would know this, boys. If you're doing it 50% of a game, it should be all right. But when you're dropping the ball 25 times, suddenly you're using that system 70% of the game, and that's a very different story. You are going to miss tackles. So the unfortunate thing about that, when you're trying to get used to a system, and you could go back to Hanksy and your experience in Waikato. Yeah. You commit to it, and it could be ugly for a few games, but if it clicks, and it should click with the calibre of player they have there, then hopefully they'll come right. But they're in a world of doubt, and that is tough on the Chiefs. World of doubt.
It's huge. And the thing is, I kind of just wonder whether it just seems that defensively they don't have a buy-in from the players. And that's where, you know, like Wayne Smith was so good. You know, he had a collective group of defensive guys that he had, but the clarity that he showed and why he did it, and then also, you know, how they sort of disagreed but agreed on certain things before presenting it to the group. And then that actually led on to everyone sort of really buying into it. And I just wonder whether they've just gone and said, well, because we've run out of time, this is just the way it is, and players haven't really backed it. Because if it's something really new, like you spoke about with when Hanksy and Getz brought that rush defensive, if you're not used to it, and you've got to remember, we've got a history of New Zealand rugby, you know, you outside foot up, all this sort of thing. If you're not used to it, you don't believe in it. And when you don't believe in it, all of a sudden things go pear-shaped. And I kind of wonder, the tackles that they're missing, they're really kind of soft tackles. And so you kind of wonder where they have got a lot of, they've got a lot of doubt in there. And then you try and turn things into their, to make things happen through their attack game, and you're forcing a whole heap of pressure on Damian McKenzie. And then you're seeing a guy like him. Like, if I was any other team, this is, you know, you get McKenzie out of the game. How do you get him out of the game? He's sitting in the back. Okay, maybe you'd kick to him, isolate him. Who else is going to run the cutter? Okay, when he's sitting there and he's running, you put heaps of pressure on the outside so that he's having to either chuck a pass over the top. He knows and feels as a fullback there's space out there, but he's going to force that. If he doesn't force it,
He's going to fullback this week.
He needs to.
There's no doubt that he's going to fullback this week, and that brings De Bruyne into the front line. And he's got a good head on him, Jack De Bruyne. Mm, yeah. But again, that means that the Chiefs have to get used to another alignment, and Big Jim heads back to fullback, where I think for him, for Damian McKenzie, who gave up a lot of points against the Crusaders, especially in that opening 10 minutes. I mean, he was the greatest assist for the Crusaders in the game. But that's just a player who is so low on confidence that when you're spiritually lost, I'm not trying to over-amplify the situation, you cannot be playing 10 in a game.
No. He's trying to make things happen all the time.
Right.
And that's where he needs help, you know?
Yeah, he's forced to. I think the Chiefs have got the same problem as the Blues. They go into that change room and say, well, where's some of our championship pieces? I don't think they've got as many as we think they do in terms of what the Chiefs have done in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, you've got your Brody Retallick, but your Sam Cane's are injured, and, you know, Anton Leonard-Brown, he's there, but I don't think he's won a championship in my career. He has. So there's not a lot of massive leadership there like the Blues. I think they've got the same issue. And then, you know, as Millsy says, if you don't, you can buy into something, but unless your heart and you're truly buy into something, and it's driven by you and the player group, not the coaches, then it never is as successful as it can be. So that, it's a battle. Yeah. Now, the Hurricanes.
You're going there already.
You can't come,
You're going there already.
Three, five, six good minutes, the Chiefs. I mean, seriously, and all we talked about was their problems. Let's move on. The Hurricanes, how well did they play?
They were good.
Let's go.
They were good. Colsey. Should we just settle on him for a second?
And
just,
he's playing well. He's got, you know what he's got? He's got the mongrel dog. He's just into everything.
But you know what's great about that? I mean, the funniest thing about that game is is a Safua Mua warming up five times and Colsey going, beat it.
Beat it.
I am not leaving the field until this game is won. And you know what's awesome about watching Coles in great form? Then you go down the road to Christchurch and look at Cody Taylor and he goes, it's on.
I'm ready.
It's on, baby. This is so good for New Zealand rugby. You know, Coles is just was into everything. Another classic game between those two teams. Highlanders probably felt a little aggrieved at the end of it, but ultimately, I love a game like that. Both teams have their chances. If you give up territory in the dying moments of a game like that, you probably lose the game. That's the nature of how defensive patterns are set these days.
We talked about it last night. This would be interesting to see what people think, but we talked about it last night. Wasn't it good to see Bowden Barrett nail that kick in the end in front of the 20, you know, on the 22 in front of the post? You know, it's just so good. I'm like, what a load of bullshit. We expect that, don't we?
Oh, that's stock and trade.
Exactly, mate. We expect that. Don't give me that, well done, you did. Mate, he wouldn't even be thinking that.
No.
Like, that's bullshit.
He's kicked that 2,000 times a week at training. That goes over. I mean, the question is when it doesn't go over.
Exactly. So let's not talk about that was expected.
Yeah.
Good on you, kid. You delivered too, mate.
So if you look through the Hurricanes, who stands out for you now in terms
the
of
the Marpy?
Yeah.
Is that the short ball?
Is that your guy?
Oh my God.
Is that your guy?
He's three guys, mate. He's unbelievable. He's like a tank.
What's happened to
him?
Can
you imagine if you had that power, Shabba? Can you imagine your Saturday nights?
And he's not on the rugby field. He's not very tall, but jeepers. He is mate, he's a tank, all right?
He's a weapon. He is a weapon.
Stuff that. I mean, but the other thing is Bodie's starting to show some nice glimpses as well. He's just, I mean, I know it's the second week, but you know, that try that Lomapi scored when, you know, wasn't kicked out and he's kicked across the field. I mean, that's precision. And then someone like man, that's my worst nightmare, seeing a guy like that break a line. You're like, please draw
it
a
reminds
pass.
Me of a combination of Carlos Spencer. I'm going back to great Blues teams.
There you go.
Carlos Spencer. A guy by the name of Samuel what a mouthful. Got it wrong. And Mills Muliaina. That back line
that's
was...
That's the three guys. That's it. That's not up here one.
That back line was incredible because Carlos would try and do all his magic, you know, and then he was like, it's not going to work here. Samuel,
take it.
Poof, poof. You just crash and bash. And then it was like Samuel would be like, oh, I'm getting tired, mate. Oh, I'll just give it to Mills, see what he can do, and voila. And as a forward, you're like, good on you, boys. Good on you, lads. It's exciting, mate.
That's the last time we won it, too, isn't it? Gee,
that's balance, though, right? That's balance. You've got a guy who's got a bag of tricks, and he knows when to play him.
Yeah.
And that's going to be Bowden Barrett's challenge all year, is to say, when do I pull out the tricks? When do I just play stock standard 10 footy?
Yeah.
Because I've got an outlet. I've got Lomapi. If I'm ever in the shit, Lomapi's going to cut it up, make the gain line, good to go. And that frees up your back line.
Yeah, they've got stability. Nine, TJ Pitanara, he's in exceptional form. 9, 10 and 12.
Mm.
You know, they're solid, you know, very, very stable there. And so, you know, when those guys start firing together, and they are really, they're very hard to.
You're a harsh critic. They are really.
Well, they are. Well,
mate, exactly.
Yeah.
Get off the field. Mate, they're playing damn well. New Zealand rugby, way better than Quade Cooper
and Guinea and stuff like that. Don't do it. Well, they're 3-0. The Rebels, mate. Get them behind the Rebs. Get them behind the Cooper train.
Yes.
Rebels, mate. Quade's good. Quade and, I mean, they are playing well, aren't they?
Hell yeah.
They are playing very well. And it's so good to see. We talked about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's so good to see. Good on you, Chief.
Tell you what, the Brumbies did some dumb shit in that game.
Australians.
Yeah, well, the Hurricanes look like they're settling into their rhythm. What about the Crusaders? Do we need to talk about them? Or are we going Crusader Death Machine?
Can I just say one thing
this week?
Can I just say one thing about the Crusaders? If you were to play a DVD on how to play rugby, you would play that game.
Yeah.
They are playing that good. It's so picturesque. Oh, it's so perfect. Mm. It's unbelievable. You can't actually say anything more about it. It's actually scary.
Yeah. Well, they're on now quest for 20 straight wins.
Wow.
In the Southern Classic this weekend. And
that's always a great match.
Well,
Highlanders
won it last time. Yeah. So,
and what, they're 14-0 at home?
14 at home after that win. So,
oh, yeah.
So she's all go.
Yeah.
She is all go. Highlanders, gee, they've lost some close ones this year, haven't they? They've got that little one percenter hanging in the back of their mind. But this is always a niggly game for the Crusaders for some reason. I think because the Highlanders actually play territory against them. And they're one of the few teams that does it well against the Crusaders.
Yeah.
You cannot let them dictate tempo. You cannot let them dictate field position to you.
Because that was the thing. Like, I kind of had a little look at it yesterday and you think, well, how the heck do you beat the Crusaders? Do you, and I thought maybe if you kicked in the ball and then hopefully slow the whole game down, but you slow that down, they've got a massive forward pack. Well, an all-black forward pack. Mm. That will just rumble you from everywhere and then they just sort of change it. If there's a team that can absolutely do that and put them under pressure up front, it's probably the Highlanders. The problem they've got, the Highlanders, the last three games, they've sort of faded away in the closing moments of the game. The last sort of 15 to 20 minutes of the game, they've really started well and they've just sort of, you think they're going to pull away. And all of a sudden, that last 20 minutes, they just seem to fade off. And you can't afford to do that against the Crusaders.
I'll tell you how you beat the Crusaders is you do bombs, attacking bombs. Whatever we call
it. Huge Gareon.
You put them, but contestable, but you only do it in the 5 meter channel with the wingers. And so I reckon that's the high ball is their weakness.
Aaron Smith putting it up for Naholo.
He just challenged and you just go up the field.
So otherwise you kind of Murray them.
Yeah, exactly. And you play it boring, but that's to a degree how they grind you. You do that and you come in with line speed. You don't let them chuck it out wide, and I tell you what, they'll keep it back, do it again, and that's just me. I've never been a coach in my life, but I bet you it works.
That's what I thought. Play boring stuff. Yep. The problem that you've got though is if you don't quite get it right, because they're going to get pressured when they're doing their kicking, and that ruck becomes fast. Have you seen their reload and how they transition into attack? What they're doing did against the Chiefs was just like
that was the Chiefs, mate.
Well, not only that. So the Highlanders are very good at the breakdown.
Mm.
What have the Crusaders added to their game over the last 3 years that negates any inferiority they may have over the ball? They've added the offload.
Yeah, they have.
It is offload city down there. Goodhue, David Harvilli, Cody Taylor, they're all throwing them.
Even Mataele's won a couple of weeks ago.
And so that has been a fundamental strength of the Highlanders for a long time. We will disrupt your ball on the ground.
Mm.
If you don't give them the chance to do that, it's hard to get the ball.
But that's why I reckon the offloads are hard from the high ball, from the aerial game for the Crusaders. And that's what I think.
I've got round four frog in the throat. That's what I've got.
How do you get him out, mate?
I don't know. Just gotta work his way out. Just a glass of red wine.
What's your drop of choice, mate?
I'm a Merlot man myself.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't do Otago Pinot Noirs. They're overpriced and taste like cordial.
got a view on them, though. I love it.
I've got a view on them, for sure. That's why I don't do them, because I've tried them. Here's I've got a story for you. I lost a voice once going to call a Chiefs game. And,
don't blame you.
Yeah, well, most people probably would have been happy about that.
You got caught at the pub on the way down, didn't you, Chief?
No, but I got there and it was really bad. So I've got 80 minutes calling a game of footy to go, and
I'd hate that as a second caller.
The Chiefs,
I'd be gone.
The Chiefs media manager came back to the commentary box about 5 minutes into the game with a pint of red wine and said, "That'll get you through, son." And I had to go through the whole game sipping on this red wine just to get the whistle wet. Shit, it was funny.
That's magic.
Great stuff down there in the wine.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
County's
might not be winning, but gee, they know what. Hey,
they know how to put wine in a pint glass, and that's the main thing. Boys, should we do a quick rapid fire here on round five?
Can we talk about Six Nations too?
Yeah, we can.
What a weekend.
Yeah, we can.
And this is a guy,
I'm glad you brought that up.
I don't
know
if you were the same, but I didn't give a rat's ass about Six Nations.
You do now?
Before going over.
I didn't really care.
It was awesome.
Then I went over and I understood it.
Yeah.
Tribalism to the best.
Yeah.
old school tribal. It's just magic. The rugby, look, I tell you what, you're like a B rating building.
Oh, come on.
It is magic. Well, it doesn't have the flair and stuff that we're used to. Basically, they've got proper second rowers there.
Let's go back to England Wales.
England Wales.
That was a good game.
Come on.
Now he's backtracking.
Come on. Okay. Beep, beep, beep.
Just put the reverse on, and before we get to the Six Nations, Chiefs Hurricanes, Chiefs any show on Friday night?
No.
Brumbies Waratahs, Tars get that surely, even in Canberra.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Stormers taking on the Juarez.
Ooh, where's that? That's over
in Cape Town.
Yeah, Stormers. I'm going to go for a good away win from the Juarez.
Juarez. Sunwolves taking on the Reds.
The Reds will smash them.
Yeah.
That's in Tokyo. Yeah, the Reds will smash them.
Yeah. Highlanders Crusaders, Southern Classic.
Oh, jeez.
What are you even thinking
about, mate? Are you equivocating here?
No, I think the Highlanders can do it. Okay. I actually do.
Okay.
You know what? Thought too, Chief. Crusaders all day, mate.
And the Lions taking on the Rebels in Johannesburg.
That's what Shag, Steve Hansen, used to say to me. I'd say, mate, I'm thinking about it. Oh, you know what thought. I was like, no, thought. And I was like, okay.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know what it means. And I was like, oh, so what do you mean? So you don't actually want to let me think? No, don't think about it, mate.
Don't think.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's working for you.
Maybe someone could tell us what thought.
We don't care about the Lions Rebels, do we? Do we care about the Lions Rebels?
No, I want the Rebels to win.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, but it's a tough gig in Johannesburg.
Tough gig. Although I'd love to see the Rebels win. I'd love to see Quaid and Guinea sort of steer the ship. I know I'm sort of on their bandwagon.
You are on the bandwagon.
Because I quite like it. I think Australians playing
well.
Well,
they deserve it, though. They deserve it, mate.
Exactly. He went through a lot of grief last year.
It's like now you're jumping on the Blues again, but off here you're just slating them.
Oh, stop.
Mate, I'm a Blues fan through and through, and I'm a Crusader champion. So, I mean...
Every time we go down to the bloody Crusaders,
we go to
the car park, I'm a Crusader.
Mate, we had no car park, and my good man down there, he remembered the championship I bought for him, and he was like, here you go, mate, Jesus. The car park's still yours.
Here it is. Six Nations this week, Calcutta Cup. Do we give the Scots any hope over the English? They're still in the hunt, remember?
The English
are still in
the hunt. The English are in the hunt.
So
here's the thing, right? So they win with a bonus point over Scotland, which is actually an eventuality I can see.
Mm.
If Wales win, it's all over.
Yeah.
If Ireland win, England can still win, and Ireland can still win. I just don't think anything here is a laydown, Mazir. That's all I'm going to throw out.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I think I'd say the English will win.
Mm.
I'd say the English will win. I'm a Welsh fan at the moment. I'm boxing with red on, and I just think they're playing with a spirit and they're playing with a zest. It's almost like a see you later, Gats. Thanks very much, but we're going to give you a little present.
I'm with you. I think the Welsh deserve it. And we spoke about it last week about how influential Gats has been, and mate. This competition is awesome. I mean, I think it was a couple of years ago when the Irish had to play Scotland at Murrayfield and they had to wait around for a wee while for another result to go their way, and then mm-hmm. they won the Six Nations. But mm-hmm. this year for me has been like, you know, when the English came out and beat the Irish, which I didn't think was going to happen. Mm. I thought after the Irish smacked the All Blacks, you know, the Irish were going to go through and just dominate. And then the English came out and just absolutely dominated them.
Oh, they hissed into them, that's for sure.
So I thought, all of a sudden, Nate, the English are going to win this. And then the Welsh were just happily going away about their business. They probably had the easiest start. And then, man, that game in Cardiff, just kind of like, wow, this is why this competition is so great. You don't really, I mean, I know the championship is good. But you don't get that, man. The All Blacks dominate. The Aussies hasn't been that great. Every now and then the South Africans might beat the All Blacks.
Yeah, but you know what's good about it? A stadium in which at least 40% of the fans are away fans. You never get that in the Southern Hemisphere because you've got to travel halfway across the world to play a game.
And the Italy outcome and France, is different by the way. Yeah, it is. All the time, which is what people want. People don't want the same old stuff.
Oh, that's right. Italy and France, well, Italy's the same old shit. Italy and France, they're the first game of the last round. I think they should play the game in Tbilisi, and the winner should then have a death match against the Georgians.
Oh yes.
If you want to add a little bit of frisson to this game, that's it. You go play the game in Georgia, and then the winner backs up against the Georgians. There you go. Imagine that.
World Rugby's meeting today, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Can we just put that on the agenda, please? Yeah. A late request Georgia. From Scotty Sumo Stevenson.
We're going to go hell play the game in Tbilisi. That's where we need to be. So here's how it all pans out. England will know before they play Scotland
whether
they are a chance.
Oh, how good.
And so if Ireland win this game at the Principality, England are going to be running out on Twickers going, we could win the Six Nations
by thumping in this game. The Scots.
What a motivation that would be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Holy shit. You don't actually know who's going to win it. It's in Dublin, isn't it, or in Cardiff?
But put it this way.
No, it's in Cardiff.
It's in Cardiff.
So they're not going to win. Welsh will come through. The Dragon will start.
Wales have got to be favourites at home.
You can't pick that.
The Singing Daisy, mate.
Well,
Daffodil Daisy.
This is the game for me. This is the weekend for me where you can truly judge World Cup credentials. Because for three of those teams, and all three of them are mentioned in dispatches when it comes to Rugby World Cup, the title is on the line for all three of those teams. So who's...
I want to know... It's the referee. The referee is definitely the third party in that final. So to me, the referee, you know, you've got your two nations playing against it, and then you've got the ref, you know, whether he's...
It must be the one, a Frenchie, will it?
Should we put a Kiwi in there? Because God knows that everyone loves blaming a New Zealand referee for everything. Oh,
this beautiful. Is the one time we... No,
I'll tell you what. Here's real controversy. Let's put Wayno Barnes in there, mate. I'll tell you what.
Barnes in the Wales Island?
He actually refs well
over
there. I'd love
to see Barnes in the Wales
Island. He refs well over there.
Yeah, it's just he doesn't ref well against All Blacks. No. Hey, Wayne. You know one of my last games with him?
What are you talking about?
I said to him, it was extra time
have
against
Leinster. Have you gone back 12 years?
Yeah, I have. I was extra time against Leinster in the semi-final of the European Cup. And I said, look, I'm done. I've finished, retired. And extra time, kick off, go and try and knock it out. Whistle, get off. I said, what? He goes, mate, yellow card, you're off. I said, mate, I was challenging him in the air. No, you won't. I said, you lost me the game in 2007.
Oh,
and now
God.
I've got a manager called Morad Bujarel, and I'm trying to get my last payment, and we're going to lose this game because I've just been sinned. What are you doing to me? He goes, oh, sorry, mate. Anyway, Brian got...
This is a genuine conversation you're
genuine
having?
Conversation. And then, anyway, so I get put off. I'm looking... The president's looking me... In the eye, literally going, good on you, mate.
You're not
you just
paid?
Lost me the thing. You're not getting paid. I was like, oh, my God. I come on about 6 minutes to go, or maybe it's 10 minutes to go, and Brian Abana scores an intercept try. I was like, you beauty, Brian. I'm going to get my last paycheck. It was beautiful.
Did you get the paycheck?
Yeah. Well, we went on and won the following week. Mm-hmm. And then, after the match, I walked up to Wayne. I said, do you know what you just... Did you know? I mean, it's all very well you looking good on the TV and all this sort of stuff. You put my whole paycheck in jeopardy. Sorry, mate. Anyway, we had a bottle of wine together.
Beautiful.
He's actually a good man.
He's a champion.
Yeah, he's a champion. I do enjoy him.
Rugby's the ultimate hobby for him. He deals in some murky stuff in the law business.
The law, yeah.
As I said, he's a good man. He's a good tourist. He loves travelling.
Also wears his shorts high and tight, and I appreciate that. The Barnsies are a great fashion statement.
He does, doesn't he? He's got a great running technique too.
He does?
Yeah, I love a good man with a distorted running technique, like me, the drunken giraffe.
We don't really know. Is he strawberry blonde? Is he ginger? Is he blonde? I'm not sure.
He's definitely strawberry blonde.
He's a
strawberry blonde. He's no redhead. Internally or down below, potentially redhead, but up top, mate, he's definitely strawberry blonde.
How many bottles of wine did you share? Right, that's it for the short ball this week. Make sure you check out all the action, Super Rugby and Six Nations. It's coming to you on rugbypass.com. Cheers, lads.